running.
Yeah, I got your letter here in front of me, so.
Okay. And before we begin, Tigard Public Library Oral History Project. Today is July 31st, 2008. Interviewers are Sean Garvey and Kathy Smith, Adult Services Librarians at the Tigard Public Library. Today we are speaking by telephone with Mr. Robert Logan in Tucson, Arizona. Mr. Logan has the distinction of being hired as the City of Tigard, Oregon's first city manager in 1965. Thank you for speaking with us today, Mr. Logan.
Good.
Let me ask you the first question here. Can you tell us a little bit about when and where you were born and raised?
Yes. I'm originally from New England. I was born in Massachusetts. And then I went in the service after high school. And I ended up in Tucson, Arizona, and then went to college at the University of Arizona.
I see. And in the service, you were a World War II veteran?
No, I'm not that old. I went in 1956, and I got out in 1960. And then I went on, after the service, I went to the University of Arizona, and I graduated in 63 with a bachelor's degree in public administration.
I see. Thank you. Okay, our next question is, can you tell us a little bit about your professional experience before arriving in Tigard?
Okay, after 1963, I graduated and I immediately started working, actually a little before, or about just at graduation, for the city of Tucson. And I started as an administrative intern in 1963. Tucson at that time was about 250,000, and we had maybe 4,000 employees. And I was fortunate. I had this meteoric rise. I went from administrative assistant to assistant to the city manager in less than 2 years. And I guess I was Irish and they figured I was dumb. So I had this rise. And I by then was married. And we had a child, and I wanted to become a city manager, so I started applying around.
I see.
And I applied in Tigard, and I was just thinking today that about 43 years ago is when I came up to Tigard and interviewed for the job.
Right. I did notice that you began in September of 1965, so that makes sense that you probably would have been up here around this time to do your interview.
But actually, I was interviewed over Labor Day, and the council did something rather interesting. And I'm sure you've been through interviews before. They decided to invite me up for an interview. They looked at my resume, and then I had to write a paper as to why I thought I'd be a good city manager and what my philosophies were, etc. And then they brought me in for an interview, and I was the only candidate. And I thought it was an interesting technique. Of course, Tigard was very poor in those days. Maybe it still is.
Do you mean that you were the only candidate who was selected for an interview, or you were the only candidate who applied?
I was the only candidate selected for an interview.
Uh-huh.
And what they had decided was they would invite me, and then if I turned out to be good, they would offer me the job.
Uh-huh.
And so I went to the interview, and I started to negotiate, and I'll never forget one of the councilmen, who was the principal of Tigard High School, Darwin Chen, said to me, "Do you want the job or don't you?" And so, I want the job.
So why were you interested in coming to Tigard to be the city manager? That's a long way from Tucson.
Well, I don't know. I was tired of the desert at that point, and I wanted to get out of the heat, and Oregon looked interesting. I had no background up in Oregon at the time, and but when I came up, it looked pretty good. Although I must admit, I reported for duty the first part of October, and the next day after we came, it started raining.
Yes, and it probably continued for months after that.
It continued for 6 months, and my wife would say, "What the hell are we doing?" And life was different then. I don't know if you can edit this out, but my wife was teaching school at the time, and it was back in the 60s, and so, of course, the man had preference for a profession. And my wife had put me through school, and so it wasn't a question. She just started on her new contract, and we just packed up and moved. So she resigned as a school teacher, and then she eventually taught in Lake Oswego for a couple of years.
Did, you know, your interest in coming to Tigard, you know, being that we were a city that was newly formed, I mean, was that something that was attractive to you, to start at something from the ground up?
It turned out it was, but I don't know. A couple things happened along the way. One was, and I'm sure that somebody's told you some of this history, the original incorporation failed by just a handful of votes, and it included all of Bullwell at the time, and it was a huge area. And then they had to withdraw it back to a smaller boundary, and then they had a vote to create the city manager form of government, and it was prior to my coming, and it was defeated. And so they decided, the city council decided to create the position of city administrator. And one of the first jobs I had to do was I had to write my ordinance and spell out my duties and my responsibilities.
Oh, I see.
And that was interesting. You know, you're coming, I'm 27 years old, and I made the grade as a city manager, and I was on hot news and a hot ticket. So, and I had a great time. I had a good council. I still remember all of them, and with fondness, and had a good time in the community.
So you were Tigard's first city administrator, and how long did you serve in that position for?
Just about 3 years, and I was recruited to come to work for state government. In 1968, you're too young to understand this, but they were having all these urban problems throughout the country. Problems were with racial
right, with all the riots.
Yeah. And so the governor's office and the governor decided to create a position on his staff as intergovernmental coordinator in the office of the governor. And so they asked me to come down to Salem for an interview, met with the governor, his chief of staff. And I refused the position at first. And then they came back and offered me more money. Talked with several people in the community. They thought it was a good opportunity for me to go down and work for the governor at the time was Tom McCall. And if you've been in Oregon very long, he's a folk hero.
Oh, yes. He's very highly revered here in the state.
Well, I'm one of the last of his staff. I spent 6.5 years working for Tom McCall. And So a lot of things that are screwed up at the state level, I did them. And I always take credit. I say, when people ask what I've done, I said, well, I was a city manager of Tigard, Oregon for 3 years, and they screwed up the place so bad, they sent me to the state.
Uh-huh.
And so I was at the state for 6.5 years.
And you began serving in your capacity with the state in 1968, is that correct?
Yes. In fact, I left, and we packed up and moved to Salem from Tigard in 68. And we still kept a lot of friendships and friends in Tigard, and so we were back quite often. And had a good time.
Well, let me ask you about...
You weren't aware that I left Tigard to go to work for McCall's?
We were aware of that.
Oh, you were? Okay.
Yes, uh-huh. We actually have a copy of some news items of when you were hired here.
Oh,
from the old Tigard Times from 1965, and we also had a note that you eventually went on to work for the state in Governor McCall's administration.
Yeah, and I had a good time there. I can tell you more about that later, but you wanted to know some of the things I screwed up in Tigard. When I got to Tigard, by the way, I was thinking of this. They did have a librarian. I don't know if you have got that in your history, but it was Ann Hicks.
I'm not familiar with that name. I'm a relative newbie to the library.
Well, this will be for the history. She had a little cubbyhole at the time, the City Hall. We had, the City Hall was on Main Street, and it was the old Tigard Bank. And there was a guy by the name of Kurt Tigard that was still in town at that time.
Certainly, Curtis Tigard. He's still alive, about to celebrate his 100th birthday.
Is he really?
Yeah.
He's a nice old man.
Yeah.
He was old then. So our library was there, and so I eventually moved them out. And we put them on Main Street, where the Fan Oak Creek is, just to the west of Fan Oak Creek. There's a building, or maybe it's one building, or two buildings west, and we put the library in there.
Okay, Kathy is saying that's called the old mattress factory?
Actually, what it was an old meat storage locker.
Uh-huh.
And I conned a guy into letting us rent it as and we put a teen center in there.
Uh-huh.
Back in sometime in that period. And then typically when you provide things for kids, they don't always use them. And so when it became such that it wasn't getting that much activity, then Ann moved the library down there. And she had a very active library.
Uh-huh. Well, you wouldn't even recognize the library we have today. It's just a huge building, and the city is very lucky to have our current building that we're in. But other than the library, let's get back to you. Can you tell us a little bit more about some of the challenges that you faced as an administrator in a fledgling city?
Well, you know, when you come into someplace brand new, then you have to do everything. Like, we didn't have memo forms, we didn't have purchase orders, nothing. And I got your stationery in front of me. I like the stationery and the Tigard seal that I developed rather than yours. And I put kind of a...
Was that part of your job description to come up with the city logo also?
I did everything.
Uh-huh.
I drew the pie charts for the budget. And when you're in a small city and you're the chief cook and bottle washer, you do everything.
And I
did everything. And It was fun. The challenges were that it was growing very quickly. The Tiger Beaver Expressway was under construction.
Okay, and that's, I think that's now known as Highway 217.
Yeah, and it was that was under construction, and Interstate 5 had just been completed a couple of years before that. And so you come into this place, and all of a sudden it's booming. You know, we had developers coming out our ears, people wanting to annex. The only city service that we really provided was sewer service. And we had, when I got there, we had 5 employees. Maybe, yeah, 5. We had one person working the sewer plant, had a city clerk, had a part-time secretary, and we had 3 police officers. And some of the first things that I did was I got a letter from some teenagers saying that the police were shaking them down and taking money. And so I eventually, I had this policeman, small town, so beautiful. I had this one policeman that his wife followed him around on his shift. And the guy must have weighed, I guess I'm not supposed to be prejudiced, but he must have weighed 350 pounds. And he was a slob. And so the kids that sent me this letter, you know, sometimes you believe anonymous letters. And so I fired him, and I demoted the police chief in the first 6 weeks. And so, you know, you're thinking, oh, Christ, am I going to get thrown out of town and ridden out on a rail? And I did the right thing. I eventually fired the police chief, too. He came up with a nickname for me. I was called Superboy. And because I was coming in as that 27-year-old outsider and doing all these things.
Uh-huh.
And, but anyway, I had to build up a town, as I looked at it. And I decided, and I had a good council. You know, the council was unbelievable. I mean, I used to have carte blanche with, where I was involved in all the discussions. Like, and it was just a good group of people to work with. And I decided to stress the police department. And so I ended up stressing the police department, and we ended up, that became our largest function. And I did all kinds of goofy stuff. I also wanted to do parks. John Cook and I became very good friends. I think his kid is on city council now.
Excuse me?
I think John Cook's son is on the council. Or was.
Kathy is saying she doesn't think that he currently is, but he was at some point.
Yeah. And John was...
And John is still in the area, and there's actually a very large park down at the end of Fall Boulevard named after him.
Yeah, I did that. And I talked the council into doing that. I wanted to buy one park a year. I was big on parks and libraries. I thought that's what, the way you built a community. And so we bought another little park kind of off Walnut called Wooded Park. And that was named after one of the councilmen that had been mayor and had died. And his son, may still be in town. John was very active. But when we started out with Cook Park, it's about 35, 40 acres, maybe bigger now. And there was maybe less than a half an acre that was developed. And it was developed like the trees were knocked down. So I hustled some grants. We put in a boat landing. I got a university student to do a master plan. I had interns that worked for me through Portland State College. I had at least a couple interns all the time. We were very active. The mayor and I, Bud Kyle, were very active in regional affairs. And I was He was the chairman of the Columbia Region Association of Governments, which was the predecessor to Metro. And I was chairman of the management committee. And so we were very active there. One of the things that I did was, in a small city, I set up a deal where we could purchase things jointly on a three-county basis, Clackamas, Multnomah, and Washington counties. And we were able to use their bids. And so, like, I bought police cars. Even though I had two councilmen that owned car dealerships, the Chevrolet and the Ford, they agreed with me. And I bought all the police cars through Multnomah County. And I was mad at Washington County, so I signed a contract and had Multnomah County maintain my streets. They would come out and grade some of the streets and sweep them. So the council let me do all kinds of goofy stuff, you know, and I guess I'm reminiscing by telling you all this stuff.
That's what we want to hear, reminiscence.
One of the things I did was I hired a guy to be the planning director, and his name was Mike Gleason, and he went on to become the city manager of Eugene, eventually. But his father was the chairman of the board of Multnomah County, board of supervisors, the board of commissioners. And so we had great political ends at Multnomah County. And anyway, it was fun times like that. And we had a small town newspaper that was very supportive of the city.
Right.
And that helped. We did a lot of annexation. One of the things the first council meeting I went to, the council took up the annexation of Highway 99 all the way across the Tualatin River. And it went out to the Onion Flats. And the guy that ramrodded it was a real estate guy. And his name is Art Coleman, I think. Anyway, he ramrodded it, and he included a couple parcels that were owned by the developers of King City. They got pissed off, and they filed a lawsuit against the annexation. And it eventually went all the way to the Supreme Court.
The state Supreme Court.
And it they threw it out. So that was a disappointment. In retrospect, I should have made a deal with the King City people and taken that area out. But you know, when you're brash and you think you know all the answers, you know. And the city attorney we had at the time was Fred Anderson. And Fred was super. Just a terrific city attorney. He was a contract attorney that worked for several people. Other things that we did, we annexed a lot. I remember one time the Oregonian did a story that said that Tigard had more right angles than any other city in the state because it curved all over the place. And I kept annexing constantly. I had been in charge at one time of annexation in Tucson, back before I moved to Tiger. And so I was an active believer that that was the way to grow a city.
And did your prior experience with annexation in Tucson, I mean, was that attractive when you were hired here, that they wanted you because you had that experience?
You know, I don't know. It could have been. You know, as an aside, this probably should be edited out, because I'm not sure it's relevant, but let me tell it to you. When Tigard was formed, it was formed as an old sanitary district. I don't know if you knew that.
A sanitary district?
Yeah, that's how...
What does that mean?
It was organized to provide sewer service.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Then it evolved into a city. Now, the people that were active in Tigard at the time were a bunch of old German Catholics. There were people, the Shekels, the Jablonskis, a whole bunch of other names like that. They were farmers, German farmers. And they were Catholics. And there was a kind of a movement at the time in the Junior Chamber of Commerce to change the makeup of this Catholic community. And so they all won the election. Four of them came in. There was one holdover, Ed Wooden. And I was a Catholic. And so they hired a Catholic. They didn't know that. Nobody ever asked. And I remember Ed Wooden coming into my office one day, telling me, saying, Bob, you got to watch out for these people now. And kind of giving me this, these guys don't like Catholics. You can edit that out. But it was an interesting aside, you know. And I never paid any attention to it. It was interesting. When we moved to Tigard, by the way, in 65, we got the last apartment.
Really?
It was booming that much.
Uh-huh.
And then after we had a child, and it wasn't very much fun for my wife to pay an apartment. So we bought a house up on Fruing Court, a subdivision that was put together kind of across the creek from the Methodist Church. Ash Street is one of the places that it goes through. Anyway, I don't need to tell you all my war stories, but some of these things occur to me.
Well, that's why we're calling you, because we want to hear all your stories. But I would like to go back. Were there, during your time as city manager here, were there other significant annexations that were undertaken? And can you maybe talk a little bit about how they affected the city?
We annexed quite a bit to the north, out Walnut. And there were some deals made with the real estate people out there. We've annexed some subdivisions out there. I annexed an area down Highway 217. Is it Pinebrook or subdivision? It's on the way to the high school. I annexed the area around Cook Park and that area down there. Had a terrible argument and disagreement with one of the residents of the area. By the name of Willis West, who lived down there. I thought I was being a smart aleck, and I drew the annexation boundary and left his house out of it. And he lived down near the park, and God, was he pissed. He came in and confronted me, and he didn't. One of the things, and I don't know if it's changed in Tigard now, putting the jack throwing it at him, we had a lot of people that didn't like Tigard and didn't want to be part of Tigard. People on Bull Mountain.
Well, that's still the case in 2008 as well.
Yeah, and I'd kind of make forays up there. One of the things that I did was I ran candidates for the Tigard Water District. And I was always trying to manipulate some of those things like that. And I was trying to take over the Tigard Water District because I felt it was important. We had two water districts at the time. One was Metzger Water District, and the other was Tigard Water District. And the dumb people had the same engineer, but they had lines in the streets running in the opposite direction. I was just stupid stuff like that. And so I tried to take over the Tigard Water District. And the board met with me, and they made me a proposal and said, well, Bob, we'll let you take over the administration, but not the technical and the maintenance. And I should have, you know, one of these things you learn as you get older, I should have taken a little, then eventually taken the whole thing. But I was obstinate, and I said no. So I made some mistakes, shall we say. I did an improvement district on Main Street, and that was one of our big projects, because Main Street was only a two-lane road, and no curbs, no sidewalks. And so nothing like that had ever been done. And so we created an improvement district in necessity to the property owners. And that was a fun project. I didn't have enough money to build a new bridge over Fano Creek. So it was four lane, except when you got to Fano Creek, it was two lane going across the bridge.
Right.
Is it still that way?
And what street are you talking about?
Main Street.
At Main Street.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure.
Okay. Do
you have the search in your memory? Can you envision that? She says she thinks it's wider than two lanes.
It probably is now. But we used to have a saying about Fano Creek that we had the Fano Creek Yacht Club when it rained hard, and because it always flooded. And then the line, we had a sewage treatment plant right on the creek on Ash Street, and it used to be flush your toilet because Lake Oswego needs the water. So we had all kinds. We at least had some sense of humor at that time.
Uh-huh, yes.
And you had to, in a small town. The police department was excellent at the time, and the police chief, I recruited a guy out of Springfield, and he was excellent.
Can you recall his name?
It was a guy named Hugh Wilkinson.
Hugh Wilkinson.
Yeah, I don't know if he's around. Jerry Edwards was a policeman, and he eventually became a mayor in Tigard.
Hmm.
And he was, we had in the Tigard City Hall at the time on Main Street, a portion of it later on became the police department, and they had a couple of rooms where the policemen were. And so we called the Jerry, who became the mayor. His nickname was Boom Boom because he had a shotgun one time. He came in from patrolling, and he parked the police car out in front of City Hall, and he laid the shotgun on the desk and went off and blew the windows out of the police station and the police car. And so his nickname became Jerry Boom Boom Edwards.
Uh-huh.
So,
well, we're just looking at our listing here. We see that Gerald Edwards started as mayor in January of 1989.
Oh, is that right?
And he was, his term finished in 1994.
Oh. He was a nice young man at the time. He was a patrolman. And so we had a lot of fun there. There's not very many people left in Tigard that would know who the hell I was. My good friend Marty Johnson was a doctor there and just retired a few years ago and moved to Texas. He owns the, still owns the buildings of Tigard Clinic up on the highway. Okay, what else? I'm rambling, so...
Well, I'll try to keep you on track here. So, can you tell us about some of your most significant accomplishments while you were city manager?
Well, I think Tigard became a factor in the region. Because of the mayor and my involvement in regional activities, we did a variety of things. For example, the mayor and I promulgated the Boundary Commission that was adopted by the state legislature, which rules on formation of districts, cities and towns, and things like that. And we lobbied that thing through with former Senator Paquin. And but Bud was very active in the region. One of the things he was pushing was creation of a regional indoor football stadium, which was going to be built down in Fallon. And he was promoting that constantly, so we had a lot of fun. Some of the major issues were growth, and the fact that Tigard had no services. We had a lot of people that disliked us. We had money problems. I don't know if you have money problems now. The Oregon budget law is very, very tough to deal with because you have a tax base. One of the things that I adopted and I pushed through was I was able to increase the city's tax base in 1968. And what I did was I created a series of neighborhood associations, and I used that as the basis of selling the tax base. And what I did was I didn't talk about the technicalities of the law. I talked about the fact that we needed to spend some money on different programs and street maintenance and things like that. I created your library. I did a lot of work on the parks. I hired the planning director and other things like that. I did screw up on some things.
Well, why don't you tell us a little bit about some of your disappointments?
My biggest disappointment was when I took the job at the state. I had put together a proposal to create a bond issue back in 68, and it came up for a vote in September of that year. And it basically would have, and eventually the city did it, I wanted to buy Fennel Creek all the way down. I think where your city hall and library is now, I wanted to buy all of that land and create a green area and a parkway. And I wanted to push through some roads and deal with growth.
And we are still working on that right now to have a greenway along Fano Creek. So,
well, I was planning it, and I thought it would be a great idea. And I put together a bond issue, and I had just passed the tax base, and I had this neighborhood mechanism in place, and I figured, God, I could get this thing. Well, then I accepted the job working for McCall and left. And so when I look back and I talk with people, and, you know, years later, I'd say, God, did I screw up? I know damn well if I had stayed, I could have passed it because it failed by a minor, minor vote loss. And so you make mistakes.
Right.
Other mistakes that I guess I made, I look back years later, because I was at the state for 6.5 years, and then I've done other things. I've been a consultant off and on for 30 years. I do a lot of work in water and wastewater, and I was in charge of downtown redevelopment for 3 years in Phoenix. And I was an assistant to the mayor of Phoenix for a year and a half, and I've done all kinds of crazy stuff. But I look back and I said, you know, if I had gone back to Tigard later on with what I know, because I'm very good at creative finance and putting things together, I could have done such a better job in Tigard. I'm not saying I did a bad job, but I could have done a lot of things differently and probably better.
Right.
And, but I guess, you know, you never know at the time. And maybe my energy at being age 27 was offset some of my lack of knowledge in some of those areas.
Right.
Because I had a lot of drive. I didn't take no for an answer. I believed no meant maybe.
Uh-huh.
And so I was always a pusher in that regard.
Right.
Another mistake I made, which was, God, I'll tell you, I had a city clerk at the time that was, I tried to work with her, send her to finance school, send her as an intern, or another city to get mentorship on how to be a city clerk. And then I gave up on her, and because she wasn't learning. And I fired her. And then it turned out I couldn't fire her. So that was, the charter at the time said that the mayor and council appointed the city clerk. So she appealed to the council.
Right.
And so we had a little go-around, the council said you got to work with her for 2 more months and give her a chance. But, you know, everything worked out. She left. And it was really funny. Years later, I was the deputy director of the regional planning agency up in Seattle, Tacoma, and that area up there. And I get a call from an attorney, the city attorney for Tigard, and said, do you know this woman that was the city clerk? And I said, yeah, I know her. He says, well, you terminated her, right? I said, uh-huh. He said, well, she ended up as the foreman on a jury in Washington County in a case against a patrolman of the city of Tigard. And she led the group in finding, I don't know, a couple $1 million in damages against the city. And so they were trying to have it thrown out based upon that she was upset with the city.
Uh-huh, right.
So it's amazing how things come back and bite you.
Yeah.
Anyway, I left in 68, and I went down to the States. And, let's see.
And again, what was your position in Governor McCall's administration?
I was the, my title when I went down, I was an administrative assistant, and I was intergovernmental coordinator. And then after, when he went for the second term, I became administrator of the local government relations division of the executive department. Plus, I was still an administrative assistant to the governor. And I had about a staff of 20, and we did a lot of things. Like we were in charge of administering grants for planning and things like that. One of the things that we did, and I did, was that, I don't know if you want this as a thing, this has been chronicled in other places. We created a system of regional planning agencies called COGS, Council for Government. And we divided the state, 36 counties, up into 14 administrative districts and created a local regional planning agency in each one. And the idea was, and we started on it, was that we wanted one location for every state agency to deal with. Like in the Portland area, it was the Columbia Region Association of Governments, which became Metro. And in Salem, it was the Mid-Willamette Valley COG. In Lane County, it was Lane COG, etc. Okay. In fact, most of those have survived to this day, which I guess shows there was a need for it. And I had a staff that organized those people, and then we gave them grants. Then I became involved in the adoption of the state land use planning. And I guess, without being too immodest, I was the co-author of the state land use planning law, which mandated that every city and county had to develop a plan in accordance with state goals and guidelines. And I did that. I did a bunch of other goofy stuff like that, too. I created one law which led to the first one-day special session of the legislature, and it was called the Land Development Consumer Protection Law, which said that if you bought a piece of property, say out in Central Oregon or wherever, and the realtor had to give you a statement as to whether there was any police protection, fire protection, what was the water service, sewer, if any, and then are there any known geological faults, et cetera, et cetera. Anyway, the upshot of it was it was adopted like 96-4. And then the mortgage companies couldn't sell their mortgages on the secondary market. So there was a one-day special session and they repealed it. So anyway, we did a lot of things like that. Certainly, some of my Tigard experience gave me great knowledge of what local government problems are in Oregon.
Certainly. Well, Mr. Logan,
I filled your tape probably full of stuff. Anybody ever hear from Bud Kyle, who is the mayor?
Hold on 1 second. I'm going to give you to Kathy here.
Okay.
Bob, I look for Mr. Kyle, and I can see that there is a gentleman or an individual with that same name residing in Salem, but he's unlisted and I can't find an address.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah. You might see if you can poke around and find out what you know. Or John Cook is still in the area, and it was suggested to me that he might have contact information for him.
Well, you know, if you see John, give him my best. I like to... He and his wife were great people.
Yes.
Do you know John very well?
I've had him come and do a local history program at the library. That's the only time that I've spoken with him.
You wouldn't, well, Tigard in the days 40 years ago, we were broke. I mean, we had no money to do things. And so there was a lot of community spirit and involvement. And John Cook was one of those that was very, very active at the time.
I think he continued to be active for quite a long time and still doing community speaking.
Where were you before Tigard, Kathy?
I was born and raised in Fredericksburg, Virginia.
Oh, you were?
Yes.
My wife is from West Bygod, Virginia. Now, did you work in library before Tigard?
I was with the city of Beaverton Library for about 9 years before I was here.
Do you know Larry Spricker?
The name is not familiar.
He used to be. He was the city manager there for years, and he's still in the community. And Beaverton, at the time I came to Tigard, was about 10,000 people. I don't know what it is now.
I was going to say 80,000, but then I was thinking it's probably larger than that.
That's it. Hillsboro was about 10,000, maybe even a little less. And it was impossible to get to Hillsboro. I mean, the roads were too late and drove through a lot of country to get there. Has Tigard got any problems now?
Oh. A few, yes. You want to ask a more specific question?
What do they do with the water? Now, they supposedly took over Tigard water, but then I heard there was a problem.
They recently, just in the last few months, dissolved the Unified Water District and have, I believe, just this month signed an agreement with Sacramento for water.
Oh, is that right?
So, you see, we have the same problems that you faced way back then. It just keeps resurfacing.
But, you know, that's typical. And, I think every community goes through that way. One of the things I noticed at the state, and I tried to develop some history, one of the things that I did at the state was I did a history of land use planning and how we put the laws together, because I felt that so often people don't go back and say how something's done. I probably should have done the same in Tigard for the start of that. And you wouldn't have to call me. But the same thing happens at the legislature. They deal with local government problems, and they get a whole bunch of people cranked up, knowledgeable about the problems, and then they're gone.
Yeah.
And then 5 years later, you get a whole new group that comes in, and they start all over again, and it's like treading water. And the Bull Mountain was a problem way back when. Those people just wanted no part of Tigard.
That problem continues.
Is it? What do they do for urban services? Is Washington County provided?
A portion of Bull Mountain is incorporated into the city now, and the remainder of it is served by Washington County.
Interesting. Well, in fact, one of the city manager that replaced me, Steve Telford, built a house on top of Bull Mountain and lived outside the city limits. I didn't believe in that. I felt that if you're going to be a city manager of a community, you had to live in the town. so.
I have one question to go back, if we could.
Is it about my screw-ups?
No. Actually, it just would clarify a point of date for us. You said that you drafted your own, I'm not sure what word you used.
It was an ordinance.
Your ordinance.
Yeah.
And the city doesn't have a record for when it actually passed, until 1994.
Oh, you're kidding.
No.
So
and
what are they?
It shows that it was proposed, the one that you mentioned was defeated, and then it doesn't show that your position was ever officially into the charter until 1994.
That's true. What it was is that the proposal for city manager was defeated about a year before I got there. Mm-hmm. Maybe it was 6 months.
I couldn't see that date.
Okay. And then what the council decided to do was to create a position by ordinance called city administrator.
Mm-hmm.
So I was not the city manager. I was the city administrator.
Okay.
And what I did was that they, after I got there, they said, oh, Bob, you need to draft your ordinance. So I put together my duties and powers. And I took a look at, you know, other people's charters, and I even used the city of Tucson charter for what the city manager duties were, and I drafted the ordinance, and council adopted it. So I came into a position that didn't really exist.
It didn't exist. Well, you see, that's what it looked like to us.
Yeah, and I became the first city administrator. I mean, there was never a doubt as to what my duties and powers were. And the council, I even served on the committee to pick my replacement. I had such a good relationship with the council. I can remember John Cook calling me later in years, down at the state, asking me about different candidates and what I thought about them and when I'd check them out. And so it was amazing the influence that people gave me. I mean, not that I was brilliant. I'm just a dumb Irish kid.
Hardly. I'm going to pass the phone back over to Sean, and it's been a pleasure speaking with you.
Well, I hope I didn't regale you with too much BS, but I had a great time at Tigard. You know, and a lot of city managers can't say that when they leave a community.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
And I had a good time.
Mr. Logan, we really appreciate you taking the time to be
able
to do
this. Well, if you need clarification, let me know.
Okay.
And I'd be happy to talk to you.
Okay.
I built a lot of sewers when I was there at Tigard, because that's the main service that we provided. And so it was really interesting. The first year I was there, some of the sewers overflowed.
Uh-huh.
In the rain, in the wintertime.
Uh-huh.
So I'm out with the maintenance guys, getting the goddamn things unclogged.
Right.
And so when you're in a small town like that, you just do what you have to do.
Exactly.
I had come from a big city where, you know, we had an engineering staff and you know, 2,000 or 3,000 employees. I never even paid any attention that sewage should go downhill. I mean, I learned it very quickly.
Uh-huh, great.
But I mean, when you're not faced and you're just sitting in an office, when somebody says, oh, there's a sewer problem, you call somebody and say, listen, go out and take care of that.
Uh-huh, yeah.
And then you, all of a sudden, you are the guy.
Uh-huh.
So, anyway.
Well, Mr. Logan, Bob.
Nice talking with you, Sean.
I just...
Where are you from, back east? Where are you from, back east?
I'm from a suburb of New York City.
Oh, are you?
Uh-huh, yep. But I much prefer it out here in the beautiful Northwest.
How did you get to Tigard?
I had some family that was living out in the Portland area, and I came out for a visit and just fell in love with it.
Well, Oregon's a nice place. We had, I had a great time in Salem, too, so I have of my 10 years in Oregon, or 9.5, I have very fond memories.
Yes, well, thank you for sharing those memories with us.
I didn't screw up Tiger too bad then, huh?
No, not at all. Bob, I'd also like to offer you a copy of the recording that we've made here today. Would you be interested in receiving
that? That'd be fine. And I'll tell you what you'd like to do if you want. I would edit it if you need to edit, or you just want it for posterity.
Well, we are going to create a copy on a CD-ROM, so you have the capability to be able to play that back?
You might take that Catholic stuff out of it that I mentioned. I don't want to embarrass any of the people. I had a funny story about the library. When we took the library over and moved it up to that the old meat packing place of the meat house, somebody came into the city hall and said, "Can you find a job for this guy?" And the guy was a drunk. He'd been a drunk for 25 years. And this guy from Tiger had found him out at the monastery out in Lafayette. It's the Trappist Monastery out there.
Uh-huh.
Okay. And so I took the guy. I got a grant from Washington County for drunk rehabilitation. So I put him to work in the old meatpacking place doing remodeling, tearing walls down and things like that. Well, anyway, the mayor put him up in his mother's house. And so we took care of the guy, and then he had to go to church every day at St. Anthony's over there as part of his rehab. And so the priest gave him an anti-abuse pill every morning at communion. And so there was always something like that going on, you know, where, some crazy idea would walk in the door, and then I would do it.
Uh-huh, right.
And, you know, I guess probably the city manager nowadays can't do that, but I did that at the state the same way.
Right. Well, it was, I guess, a different time in a fledgling city.
Yep. Ironically, you can still do it if you got the courage to do it.
Yep.
And a lot of times in government, people don't have the courage to do such.
Well, Bob, we're just about out of time, so again, I just wanted to thank you once again.
Well, I enjoyed talking. It was fun to reminisce.
Yes.
And I'll keep my thing. I didn't write out anything, but if you need any clarification, I'd be happy to give it to you.
Okay. Thank you once again.
See you later.
Okay. Bye-bye.